As you're well aware, we're well into the part of the year when it's hot enough outside, not even including the smoke factor, to make us feel like our brains are not fully functioning. And the heat can be really tough on people who are very young or very old, but even people in the prime of life can get a little foggy in the head on really hot days. A recent bit of research actually tested young people in college during a heat wave. Let's find out just how much worse the hot students did. Dr. Jose Guillermo Cedeño Laurent, who goes by Memo Cedeño, is the Associate Director of the Healthy Buildings Program at Harvard University's T.H. Chan School of Public Health and the lead author of the study. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. I should point out, you're not an MD or an MPH. Your work is primarily in mechanical engineering and buildings. Is that right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So this really gets back to what happens in buildings in certain kinds of weather conditions.
Right. So I think public health is a very multidisciplinary field, and we have a lot of engineers that are really trying to provide solutions to these what we would consider existential threats.
Existential in what sense?
In that the climate change really could be something that we really need to care about if we want to survive as we have done for the past million years.
So when we think about healthy buildings, for example, is it a building that would have been considered a healthy building 40 or 50 years ago is not necessarily a healthy building for us now in the conditions we have now?
Right. So the question is whether the current built environment is well adapted to deal with these changes in climate. And the thing is that these experiences are happening so fast, the new trends in the flooding, in the wildfires, are really happening in a period of time that we expected to be later on. But now we see these consequences of climate change. So we think that we are not adapted to it.
Okay, so you're saying that things are happening sooner, these events, the catastrophic events?
That's what it seems to be the trend, right.
Mm-hmm. So what was the starting point for this particular study?
So I think that the starting point was that we think as a society we have failed in the dealing with the battle against climate change. And one of the reasons is because very few of us feel it's a personal issue. It's really a societal blind spot, and we're likely to remain inactive unless we're moved by crisis. So the effects we associate to heat waves are mostly increases in mortality, as you said, in vulnerable populations such as the seniors or the very young. But we wanted to study these subclinical effects that could be potentially experienced by millions that become really problems to our productivity and that the ability we have of learning and that even our safety, right? So we looked at a population that normally is considered immune to the effects of heat, which is young and healthy individuals.
Let me back up a step, though, because that was a really interesting thing you said about how few of us feel like it's personal. So do we generally think that climate change is something happening to other people? And granted, if you look at, like, major floods in other parts of the world, you can get that feeling. But there is that feeling, you're saying, that people do think climate change doesn't happen to me?
That's I think, what is precluding us to take action, right? So it's always somewhere else. It's always the polar bears. But when it gets personal, when it gets to our ability to perform our daily functions, and especially in groups that work, we think we're resilient to these conditions, then I think it's when things will click and say we really have to do something about it.
All right. So this wasn't a huge study. I mean, you involved 44 college students at a college in the Boston area, it looks like in the summer of 2016. And what was the basic setup of the study?
So the thing is that really climate change is bringing these unprecedented conditions. So we are using that opportunity as a natural experiment. So we have the availability of studying this population, which was divided into two groups. One group that had access to air conditioning in their building and one that didn't have air conditioning. So as we followed this group of 44 students, and we tracked them before the onset of a heat wave where temperatures were seasonable or mild in the lower 70s. But then all of a sudden, at the fifth day of study, the heat wave started. And the temperatures were in the above 90 Fahrenheit for a series of days. So this allowed us to really follow this group with a very sharp change in the environmental conditions, specifically temperature. And to study this outcome of interest, the cognition, we administered two cognitive tests via their smartphones every morning for the period of 12 days. While we were measuring in their dormitories, every 5 minutes, their temperature, relative humidity, carbon dioxide, and noise. And on the individuals, on the subjects, we gave them a physical activity monitor that was able to characterize the way their sleep, their physical activity patterns, also their heart rate and their perspiration.
Wow, so you had a lot more data than just like a bunch of guys got warm. I mean, you really were checking a lot of different variables, both in the environment and on the students themselves.
Correct. So something that I think is a very unique part of this study is that we are addressing questions that either epidemiology hasn't been able to solve, because usually these big studies rely on outdoor temperatures. And also, we are a departure from the traditional experimental studies where everything is so well controlled, but the exposure is not necessarily the real one. So this is like, I would say, a sweet spot where we recognize this is only 44 individuals, but we were very exhaustive measuring all the factors that we know that are associated to loss of cognition due to temperature exposures.
We are talking about just that very subject, students who lost a little cognition because they were getting very hot in a heat wave in Boston two summers ago. That is a study that came out this month under the title Reduced Cognitive Function During a Heat Wave Among Residents of Non-Air-Conditioned Buildings. Memo Cedeno is the lead author of the study, along with five others. He's the Associate Director of the Healthy Buildings Program at Harvard University's T.H. Chan School of Public Health. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I haven't asked this yet. Was it a special kind of a summer program, some kind of single-purpose program, or just people taking classes in the summer?
It was primarily people that stayed during the summer for research activities.
Okay, research activity. All right. So just curious about that. So these are people who had they were rather dedicated to their studies in the first place, it sounds like.
Right.
So we mentioned that some of them lived in buildings with AC and some didn't. And I wonder about the older buildings. There's a reference in the work here that seems to indicate that they were actually designed to hold on to heat when it came, because it can get so cold in Boston in the winter.
Right. So this is one of the main aspects of how obsolete different buildings, built environments in different parts of the world it might have an issue dealing with climate change. So we have these historical weather patterns, and in Boston, and I would say in many parts of the world, our structures were conceived as a shelter, primarily here to cold environments. So as we transition into these more intense, more severe weather patterns, specifically talking about heat, our buildings are being pushed to the limits of their performance. And what we really saw is that, to our surprise, because we were able to really document it, but we know it anecdotally, once the outdoor heat wave is over, the indoor heat wave still is there. So indoor temperatures still are elevated almost 2 days after the outdoor heat wave is over. So this also makes us think of ways of giving advisories to the population that conditions might still be something to care about after the outdoor heat wave is over.
Oh, right. So even though the temperatures have gotten back to something more like normal, at least more pleasant, that you got the buildings themselves that are going to hold on to that heat for two or more days.
Right. So this was particularly important during the sleep periods because, you know, during the day we have the ability to look for shelter somewhere else in malls or other places that have air conditioning. But for many people, they can't find a secondary place to sleep. And we also know from a very serious research that the increase in overnight temperatures is being more pronounced. So although the, let's say, the heat wave becomes even more important or more deleterious during night periods.
So specifically to the students in the study, and again, 44 college students, some lived in air-conditioned dorms and some didn't over the course of these this summer research period. How different were the students in the hot dorm from their cognitive baseline?
So in the baseline, there, we found some differences, but there weren't any specific trends. So we administered two cognitive tests, and in one test, one population was doing better, and in the other, the other population was doing better. But then what we found is the consistent trend that once the heat wave started, there was a detriment in the cognitive function of those without air conditioning in relation to those that have a cooler indoor environment.
And was it a pronounced difference? I mean, was it, you know, statistically significant?
It was not only statistically significant, but substantial. So this really adds up to a very fast-growing body of literature that is showing how high temperatures impact the way we are thinking. And you might have covered some of these stories in the past. Just yesterday, another paper was published on a potential increase in suicidal rates in U.S. and Mexico because of temperature increases.
Yikes. Okay, so all kinds of things happening because of people getting hot. We have a question that came in. She didn't stay on the line, but Rika in Grants Pass called in and says, this shows why historically people tended to take naps during the day and take dinner very late. And I wonder if because of air conditioning, we've gotten a little out of rhythm with the environment.
That is probable. So we have to think this from a larger perspective, and is that for the first time in history, humans have been able to modify the environment in a substantial way that affects the whole ecosystem, right? So it's plausible that air conditioning is also I would say deterring our ability to adapt to other environments. Yes, in a way, the same things we see with lighting. So artificial lighting is just recently in evolution that we have access to and has changed our life patterns, right? We are able to work at night. And we have seen also those deleterious effects of exposures to light at times where we aren't, by evolution, used to.
We're talking to Memo Cedeno, Jose Guillermo Cedeno Laurent, who is the Associate Director of the Healthy Buildings Program at Harvard University's T.H. Chan School of Public Health. We're talking about a study of students, college students, so healthy young people, some in air-conditioned dorms, some not in air-conditioned dorms, and how different their performance was when they got in a heat wave in Boston two summers ago. So to the fine-grained causes, then, of because you mentioned that you measured a lot of things about the students and their environments, and is it as simple as the hot people got less sleep or something like that?
So it's probably not that simple, but we did perform a mediation analysis, and that means we are trying to understand what is the role of changes in sleep quality or total sleep time, in this case, in the outcome of interest. So we did see that moderate part of the effect could be attributed to a loss of sleep, but we need a much larger sample to really confirm these provoking findings. What we also found is that the people that got better hydrated, that had more than 6 glasses of water per day, did significantly better on the test.
Okay, so better hydration is a big key here.
And right.
Then pull the focus wide, if you would, Memo Cedeno. What kinds of conclusions did you draw from this particular study?
So one is that really heat waves and climate change pose risks to a larger set of the population that we normally think, including these young and healthy individuals, that these effects might have repercussion in the way we learn because of the school environments being not properly controlled, and also enough our office environments and also our safety, right? When we're driving a car, these effects might have some implications. But I think the elephant in the room is really climate change, right? So something that we really want to push forward is the idea that we need better ways of cooling our indoor environments, but also of cooling down our cities. So I would say that in indoor environments, something that we are looking at as potential solutions, so are the offering district cooling systems that are being implemented elsewhere in the world, and that become these neighborhood scale solutions to provide chilled water to buildings and cool them. Therefore,
oh, like a centralized centralized cooling plant for a whole neighborhood.
That's correct. So there might be efficiencies in that. And the other big element that we want to convey is that we see actually air conditioning as a very bad intervention so far. So this is technology that dates back to 100 years ago and that presents a very strong positive feedback loop to climate change. First, because of the increasing energy consumption, but second, and probably most importantly, because of the release of refrigerant gases in these systems that are one of the most potent greenhouse gases that we know.
But so, what about the release of the hot air itself from the systems? I mean, is that play a factor
as
too?
As well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, of course. We know that urban canyons are being heated more and more because of the dumped heat from this air conditioning. So it's really like an eye-opener for all of us to say, if we want to preserve all these things, our cognition, our ability to learn, our safety, we have to look at systematic solutions to provide cooler environments.
Wow. So were you surprised at all by what you found in this study?
We were surprised because despite the fact that this is not only in some ways intuitive, the effects, and that they were found by other researchers in the lab, in field studies, we normally see a lot of noise. And here we have the significant and very strong signal to noise ratio to find the effect.
And indeed you did. So reduced cognitive function during a heat wave among residents of non-air-conditioned buildings, an observational study of young adults in the summer of 2016. That's the full title of the research published earlier this month. And the lead author, Jose Guillermo Cedeño Laurent, Memo Cedeño, has been our guest. He's the Associate Director of the Healthy Buildings Program at the Harvard University T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Dr. Cedeño, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
It's a pleasure.